at the killing ground. The Tuscans deserved every bit of this, surely. His boy Varen, Danar Calwell, even that Lars woman, all had gotten some justice today. But Orin understood that squaring accounts here made for a change to the rest of the balance sheet. "Will Zed be ready to go again soon?" he whispered to his son.
"I wouldn't count on it," Mullen said.
"Doc Mel only had a second with him, but he said he could be out for a month this time. Maybe more." He raised a hairy eyebrow.
"Why?
Are you afraid this thing today will mess us up?" "I don't know," Orin said. He turned back to the crowd and locked eyes on Jabe. The boy always looked happy outside the store, but now he was positively over the suns. Jabe spotted Orin and raised his shiny trophy, earning another cheer from the others. Orin smiled back. The boy was really growing up. He joined the applause.
"That's it, folks," he said, stepping into the crowd. "First the racers tried to ruin our good time, and then the Tuscans. Let's get back to the claim and show 'em we still know how to celebrate."
Chapter 20.
With care, a Yark placed one rock upon another. It was important to select the right mix of stones. The pile had to last for eternity, holding the remains of a Dean above Tatooine's surface. Tomorrows only matter to the dead. A Yark's clan did not bury their fallen, nor could they here in the shadows of the pillars, where the ground was tough enough to snap off the end of any pick. No, a Dean would lay atop the bed altar, protected from wildlife by massifs, the trained reptilians the Tuscans kept as camp guardians. His battle then would be against the suns, his spirit against theirs. Eventually, even the most defiant warrior's body would succumb to the wind. Then a new level would be built over his remains, the growing mound providing a tower to support the body of that warrior's sons or grandsons. But the graves of Adin's ancestors were far away, in a different part of the wastes. So here, in the evening shadows of this misbegotten place, a Yark silently built a solitary bier for a boy who had been warrior for less than a week. No descendants would join his tower, but his spirit would last as long as the stones of his resting place did. A Yark chose carefully. It was the work of a mother. A Yark was that, and a warrior as well. The traditional divided roles of the past were a luxury the clan could not afford. There simply weren't enough to fill them. All had changed after a single dread day 14 cycles earlier. Today's losses had been bad, but they were nothing compared with what had happened the day the clan battled the Hutts. The day Sherrod Het died. A Yark stopped sorting and wondered. It was safe now to pause and reflect. As safe as it was going to get. She thought about Ben's weapon and visualized the owner of the other she'd seen. Sherrod Het was the Utman, the outlander of local legend, but to a Yark, he was a real being. He was in fact family, because of a different human a Yark had met first, Kishik. A Yark had been born as Kiyark, the youngest of six children. When three of her siblings died from plague, her father, Yark, repopulated his household through a time-honored practice, abduction. Kishik, so named by the Tuscans who kidnapped her from a local settlement, was nearly an adult when she came to live with a Yark's family. A Yark, still a child, was granted the privilege too often a chore, of bestowing on Kishik the ways and words of the Tuscans. In so doing, Ayark learned some of the soulless breathings the settlers called words. She remembered them well, evidently, as the one called Ben had understood her today. Kishik had spoken many human words, most of them sad. Over time, Ayark realized her new sister had been living as a slave of the humans. Life with the Tuscans was not freedom, because the Tuscans were not free, bound and cursed as they were to inhabit the blasted lands. To Kishik, pale and miserable, it was almost more horrible than death. Ayark often expected her to vanish into the wind. But as a long chain of Tuscan torturers had found, where humans were concerned, fragile bodies often contained durable spirits. Yark allowed both Ayark and Kishik to learn the ways of the warriors. He had assumed, correctly, that Kishik would learn their ways faster, and had defended his daughters against all criticism.
"There will come a day when all must fight," he had told the elders. "We are too few."
While Kishik learned the Tuscan words, both sisters learned combat. Ayark saw that humans had great potential, as Kishik's talent continually amazed. But something more startling was to come over the horizon from the cities and into the Tuscan camp. A volunteer. Sherrod Het had ventured willingly into the wastes, bent on suicide, or rather, on joining the Tuscans, which was much the same thing. A settler taken by force could enter the tribe, as Kishik had, but there was an important difference. The Tuscans had chosen Kishik. Sherrod Het had presumed much, and had to be broken. Ayark's people certainly tried. But Sherrod had survived the punishments and emerged stronger. The elders whispered he had been part of some ancient and foreign army suffused with powers from angry spirits. And Sherrod carried a great and magical weapon, something no common settler carried. A shining green blade of energy. In time, Sherrod earned the garb and Guderfi of a Tuscan, showing his face to the sky for the last time. He took fellow human Kishik as his mate, a match not of convenience.